Greetings to each one this morning. What a tremendous joy to be together. Just very thankful for what Brother Joe and Brother Chris and Brother shared. Had a hard time staying in my seat. That's exciting. I thought of this scripture that I think about quite a bit with some of what Brother Joe shared, and it's a blessing because when you come face to face with Satan, it's really quite an experience. It really is. It says in chapter 10 here, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, it says he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And the whole occult, and there was actually a young man at the Bible school in Altona that had opened himself up to the occult, and it makes the hair stand up on the back of your head when you know that you're dealing with Satan, and you know when you are. You can sense it. It's quite an experience. Well, this morning, I think it would be a rich blessing if those of you that can would just stand, maybe for a word of prayer. We do have a burden on our heart, but we do want God to lead us. So let's pray. Father, the things our ears have been able to hear were privileged. There are many that have lived life and are now in eternity that have never heard. Father, we're very privileged today to be able to hear. We do thank you richly for being a father, a faithful, loving, benevolent Father to each one of us. We come and worship, Father. We're looking to you with the eyes of our heart. We're asking for understanding. We're asking that you would be able for you to lead and guide. Add to us wisdom and virtue, Lord, and discernment where it's needed. We just, as we're together here, this service, we know that you see each one of our lives, and we know there's things that you would like to just gently touch, and you would like to just change, and you would like to help us. And Father, we want you to be able to do that. And so we just, our lives, our thoughts, the words we say, the things we think we know, the things we're sure about, all of these things, Father, we ask that your divine hand, your divine finger, would be able to move in any way, in any direction, touch anything. Thank you, Father. Thank you for each one. We love them so much. We love we're very appreciative of being able to be together. So thank you. And we just pray these things in your worthy name. Amen. Man, you may be seated. As I do want to say that a lot of the burden on my heart today probably is picked up from out around. As we field a few calls here and there from other people, and as you visit a few other churches once in a while, we don't get too much, just some of the questions, and also other ministers and other settings that are trying to find their way. And I do want to just be open today. With the things that I teach here, I do want to be open to any input that anyone here has in this way. But I do want to be honest that it's a subject that has been a deep burden on my heart. I believe that the teaching or the voice that has said and is still saying today that if it's not written in the Bible, you can't make anyone do it or no one has to do it. There's voices saying different things. And I believe that as we've examined the fruit of this teaching in the lives of the people that have embraced it, I believe it's sobering. I believe there's we recognize there's differing views on this, but I would like to just take the Word of God here and lay a foundation best we can today and let Him lead us. Let me start here with a few scriptures out of Timothy. Before we go there, I would just like to remind us again, and we don't need that reminding, but sometimes I feel like as we go through life, the voices and the things we face, there's been so many things said that go with this. We forget that, you know, basically everything is Christian in our day. We have Christian rock and roll. We have Christian counseling. We have Christian divorce. We have Christian movies. We live in a in a Christianized society. And so that makes the teaching that everything has to be written in here. And if it's not, we're adding to the Scripture. That makes that teaching all the more deceptive and all the more dangerous. Because what I see happening is God's people are letting society help them with their applications rather than the Word of God. And that is some of the burden that I have. And we know that it doesn't matter what we believe. It's not what we believe that makes us a Christian. It's how we live. It's our manner of life, as we'll see here. So if you have your Bibles for a foundation, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read in verse 10. And while you're turning there, there's another scripture that I'd like to read. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Godliness. "Having promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come." And I really appreciate the word godliness in the New Testament. It is over and over. It is to be like God. And that is God's heart for us. As we go through life, as we're faced with decisions, He doesn't want certain cultures necessarily or certain... I'm not sure why there's something in my throat this morning. He doesn't want certain cultures or... He really wants our focus to be on being like Him. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Let us just start reading here. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life." Those words, manner of life, as we considered our teaching this morning, really stuck out to me, really caught my attention. "Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, for those of you that don't know my heart, that may be listening in, the Bible uses the good works over and over again. And we know that there's no good work that will bring us into right standing with our holy God. We must be born into God's kingdom through the new birth. There is no other way. But after we've experienced that new birth, God's love should fill our hearts, and from a foundation of love for God, our life should be full of good works. I would like to explore the attitudes in our hearts a bit, and the things that we do, and what are the principles that we're drawing from. Is our goal in life just not to do wrong things, or just to not do something bad? Is that an okay goal to have? To just stay out of trouble and to just not do something wrong? Is it okay for us to be doing things that are immoral? Immoral meaning they're not good and they're not really bad. They're just, they don't really have an effect. Is that okay to have our life full of things like that? How many things in God's eyes are immoral or really don't matter? I feel like there's probably more of them matter than we think. But in your mind, what all and how big is the list of things that you spend your time doing that really have no effect on your life? It's just, I just pass my time. I just do this. It doesn't really matter. Like taking a nap, taking a bath. Is it wrong to take a bath? Does it help me be more godly? Putting on my socks, my shoes. Those things, how much, those things probably really are, how can you say, probably you could say that some of them are in the immoral phase, but I'd like for us to think about the things that we do with our time, the things we buy, everything. I think the immoral category isn't quite as big as we sometimes make it. The one of the criteria that I think we should use, things that are, we should be, our lives should be continuously full of things that help us to be more like God, and to help to edify, to build us up. And if there's things that I'm doing that really don't do either, I think we can fall in a trap that way. And I want to encourage us to consider very carefully what we are doing, because that will be the fruit that we will reap some years down the road here. And I do believe that God calls us to a higher ground. Our goal and our aim needs to be higher than just not doing something wrong, or to just filling our time with immoral things that really don't take me closer or further away from God. God has the word instruction for righteousness here. I believe that God wants us to be taking His word, and He wants us to be getting instruction from His word, and He wants us to be doing the right things, not just passing our time with things that aren't bad or things that don't matter. Is that right? I believe that's God's will for us. He wants us to continue to grow in righteousness and to take instruction from His word in righteousness. God's holy word points teaches us what we should be doing. We can't afford to have our lives full of things that aren't bad, but they're okay. God's heart for us is that we're doing the right things. And sometimes it's how we view Him. As He says here, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt, manner of life. The things which thou hast learnt, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine." We read those Scriptures. But this is God's heart for us. We see it here in verse 17. It says that the man of God, or that the woman of God, may be perfect. You know that's God's heart for us? That's God's heart for all of us, that we may be perfect. And you know, I know that I'm not preaching that as long as we're here on earth that we're going to eradicate evil and our flesh and its desires. I'm not teaching that we're going to be these people that can never fall and all of these things. But I do believe that we can be perfect. I really do. I believe that that's God's heart for us. And that is why we have the burden that we do today. That we may be perfect. That should be our goal. And it's something that I believe we can attain with the grace of God. Now, are we going to be as holy as God is and all of these things? I know I'm not. And I don't think I'm as perfect as I want to be. But I do want us to know that there's a voice. There's also a loud voice that is saying there's no use to even try because you can never do it. But I believe that God has instruction for us in His Word that will help us to be perfect. God's purpose for the church is the perfecting of the saints. And our goal today is to equip God's people, God's saints, with the tools that He has given us. To perfect the character of man is the aim of biblical truth. To continue to perfect our character and what is deep within. I would just say that one of the things that this voice has done is God has given us a rich, He's equipped us. He's given us many very useful principles in His Word. But from those principles, we have to have the freedom to make application to our life, or else these principles become useless and we look to other means and other sources and we adopt their principles and we make applications from their principles instead of from the Word of God, is what's happening at times, it seems like. But I feel like God has equipped us, all of His children, with richly and abundantly. So let us take a look here at a few things. One of the first scriptures that I think has been misunderstood and misinterpreted is in Revelation chapter 22. Let's just read those scriptures. The book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, there's been a lot of things said about these scriptures, and I believe these are the scriptures, these are some of the first ones to go to, and by God's grace, There's been a lot of attempts and a lot of, I think we should just leave that. Been a lot of attempts made. But let's just look at these words here in the Bible. It says here that the words of the book of this prophecy. So, what people take those scriptures and they say, see, you cannot make any. If you ask anybody to be godly, you're adding to God's word. They're not, they don't say it that way, but they say, let's say, if you go ahead and you give some clear direction on music, on the principles of music, then you're adding to God's Word. That is the accusation that comes from these words. First off, I want to say that I believe that verse 18 and 19 are specifically talking about the book of Revelations. I really do. It's there, it's talking about prophecy. But besides that, I also believe that there is a principle in God's Word where we as fallible men don't want to just add to it. I don't have a desire to add two more commandments to the Ten Commandments and say, "Thus saith the Lord." I think that's a principle we still it is true and valid. We don't want to just cut out the book of James and say it's useless. It's a pistol of straw. It's got a lot of practical teaching. And I don't think we want to add to God's Word. It's not our heart. But let us go on here. I guess I'd like to just start with an account here that we as a ministry experienced, and God was good to us. We had someone that was calling for several months, and they were wanting help. And what they were saying was that there was basically six families there, and all six families were begging. They wanted help. They wanted to be able to set more clear direction in the church and some of these things. So we went down and we met with the first one. He was the one that was inviting us, and he definitely was of one heart and mind with us. It was an absolute blessing. But as we started meeting with the other families, we realized that he was by himself. The rest of the families really didn't want us there. And that's okay. It's okay that way. But what I'd like to share is something. It's an account where we as a ministry, when we showed up at the one place, he had heard a lot about us, and he had a lot of challenges with some of the direction that we've feel God is leading us. And so we had no more than sat down. He started saying, "Now I just want to tell you guys, it is absolutely wrong for you to ask anybody to do anything that is not spelled out in Scripture. You cannot do that." And by this time his face was just red. I mean, he really believes this with all his heart. His face is just red, and he kept going. He said, "You cannot do that. That's adding to the Word of God." And he was ready for us, and he was adamant. And he went on for a little while. And, you know, I had faced a lot of this, and it's okay. But I had never thought of what God gave me when he was done. When he was done, in just an instant, it's like God gave me this. And so when he was done, his face was red, and he kind of looked down, so I looked over at him and said, "So, brother, do you use drugs?" Meaning like marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine. "Do you use those?" And I didn't say those, but he knew what I meant. And so I said, "Do you use drugs?" And then he looked over at me and he said, "Man, you've got me there." Yeah, nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shall not use marijuana, does it? The man himself has hundreds of principles in his life, or hundreds of applications in his life, that are not spelled out in the Word of God, saying, "Thou shall not use cocaine." But what did he do? What did he do? Where did he get the principle from in God's Word to not use drugs? Somebody know? Anybody have any thoughts or ideas? That's right. That's right. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Now, was this man adding to the Scripture by taking the Word of God and the principle that's there and making practical applications in his life? Was he adding to the Word of God by doing that? By not doing drugs? No. But that's brothers and sisters. That's where the deception has come in. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's a burden because it's deceived a lot of people. It really has. When we can no longer take this precious word of God and see the principles that God is teaching us and make applications to our life, like staying away from drugs and alcohol and marijuana and cocaine. When we can no longer do that, brothers and sisters, why even read this word? What would be the purpose of even picking up this word and spending any time in it if we're not allowed to make application without adding to the word of God? What would be the use of doing that? But that, brothers and sisters, is a perfect picture to each one of you of what of the deception. Sadly, I think what has happened is he has let our heathen society. I think he probably may not do drugs because of the heathen society. I honestly don't think that he went into God's Word and found this scripture about the body being our temple. I don't think he went and found this scripture and made that practical application because of this principle. I think sadly he wasn't doing drugs because the rest of society says it's wrong too. And that's my fear for all of us. We cannot allow our society to determine what our applications are. We need to continue to get into God's Word and seek and mine and pray and understand in a practical way what it's telling us and be able to make changes to our lives with the direction that we find in God's Word. I wish there was a way and a godly way to give you all a better idea of the effects that this false teaching has had on the lives of God's people. I just want to say that if you spend a few hours around this man, you would know that he really did believe that if he made any application to if there was any practical godliness in his life, that there was sin. That's where he's led to believe that if there's godliness and things like that, that it's legalism, it's sin. And so if you was around him, you would know that this teaching did affect his life in a very real way. The scriptures and revelations that we just read about not adding to God's word, they're not teaching us when all of the other scriptures together, David in Psalm 119, he talks over and over about precepts. And we'll get to that later. We have the scripture in Matthew that we'll read. It talks about he that builds his life on the word of God and the wisdom that there is. What was really amazing to me, the same people that say that you can't have anything in your life, or the same people that are so strong on this teaching that if it's not written out in God's Word, you can't do it, they're the ones that say that we live by God's Word. And I wanted to talk about that a bit. It's confusing, but I think we'll just keep going. I just want you to all know, and I pray that God will try all of our hearts, and if we have wandered away from God's Word, and if there's any kind of fear that is in our life of picking up this Word like a child and reading what it says and applying it to our lives, if we've been moved away from that, May God help us. May He open His Word to us. And may we spend much time in this Word as a little child, taking what it says into our lives in a literal way. Let's read some scripture here out of Matthew 7. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds beat, and then beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at these truths, at His doctrine." So some of the things that Jesus asked us to do: let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, how do we let our light shine? I don't think we all need to wear red. I don't think we need to do something to make ourselves stand out. But I do think there's practical things that we're responsible for so that our light shines. And I think that we have to take this principle, and each one we should prayerfully consider, what does God want others to see in my life? Does he want me to put on an AC/DC shirt but still have my body as the temple? Is that the light God wants me to be portraying? Does God want me to identify and dress like the world? So then they see the light that's inside that really matters, the light that's in there. Well, you know, there's practical applications that God leaves to us. He doesn't get specific and say, "Now, you must do so and so and so so that your light shines." But we have to be able to take that, like love your enemies is another one. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you." He says to do good to them, but He doesn't say, go buy them a warm meal. Go give them a candy bar. He leaves all of those applications to us. Now, if we do that, brothers and sisters, are we really adding to our condemnation? Are we really adding to God's Word? No, I don't think so. Practicing secret disciplines. Jesus says, "When thou doest thine alms, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand doeth." Now, He doesn't name what all those things may be. There's practical things. Deny yourself. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily." That's a big one for me. I need help with denying myself. These words here in James says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he, beholding himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." By reading God's Word and applying it to our lives, brothers, don't fear that, please. It is godliness. It will help us to be more like God when we do that. It's freedom. Some of the scriptures, there's many scriptures in many ways. I felt like this should be a two-part message. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true..." We shouldn't be listening to a lot of things that aren't true. "Whatsoever things are honest, Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, our music. Our music should be edifying and helping us to be more like God. And if it's just not bad, but it's not good, it needs to go. It really needs to go. Whatsoever things are pure. Philippians 4:8, you can draw so many. There's so many principles. There's so many practical things in our life with this scripture here. And there's many others. Music, clothing, books, you know, hairstyles. You know, if our hair is setting us apart and so that we get more recognition, it just goes on and on. That's those are all things we should consider. The church has always made practical applications to principles in God's Word. You know, and way early on, you know what happened? Early on, people watched when they had the gladiators going. They had these theaters way back. They had all these pagan festivals, and all the pagans would watch and see who would not attend these events anymore. And right away, when they didn't attend, they knew they were Christians. Think about what was going on. Think about that. They had the gladiators where there was blood and all these things going on. The Bible does not say anywhere, now on the new moon, thou art forbidden to attend any gladiator events. Please hearken unto me, thus saith the Lord your God. It's not spelled out in Scripture like that. Way back then, they took principles in God's Word, and they wouldn't be caught at one of those festivals for nothing. And the minute they quit going, they were pegged. Ah, you're a real Christian. You're a real one. Now you're in trouble. But what principles did they take those things from? Think about it. Why wouldn't they go to the gladiators? Does anybody have any idea what scriptures, just one, that comes to mind, any of you? Thou shalt not kill, for one thing. There was death at the gladiators, God's commandments. James says, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. It didn't say thou shalt not go to the gladiator events, but they would not go. They would not go. So, brothers and sisters, it's just the beginning. There's many scriptures, but my encouragement is, even as a church, we know we've experienced, you know, we were asked to wear things and we were asked to do things, and it was enforced with the Word of God. And we know that did not contribute to life in that setting. But I do want to say, as a church, for us to sit together and determine, you know, the smartphone's been here 10 years. And for us to sit together as a church and prayerfully consider, what effect is it having on us as a people? And to give direction to those things is not adding to God's Word. It is not adding to God's Word, my dear brothers and sisters. An early Christian said, examine our sacred books, which we do not keep in hiding, and which many accidents put in their hands. Many people find them by accident, who are not of us, and learn from them that a large benevolence is enjoined upon us. They realize that God is with them. As they took this book and lived it, God was with them. And when we don't live it anymore, how can God be with us? There's so many. I just want to continue to help expand your mind, or not really that. I'm not saying the right words here. But do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Look at how many practical applications you can make from that. Or visit the sick. God doesn't tell us how often or who or when or how far away we should go, or all of these things. He leaves all of that for us to make practical application too. I was a stranger and ye took me not in, naked and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Jesus says, do we just not worry about doing this since it's not really written out who we should visit? Is that going to stand when we stand before God and say, now God, you didn't say that I had to go visit my uncle that was sick. You didn't tell me what his name was. Is that going to stand? It's not going to stand when we stand before God. Is that adding to God's word to go visit the sick? I don't believe so. Care for the fatherless and widows. Love the Lord. God never gave us any idea how many different ways we can love Him. He gives us some ideas, but brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things that happen around here because you love God. And that's a blessing. Love your neighbor. You know, I have these scriptures here. I'd like to read that go with it here in closing. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, just goodness. And to goodness and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance kind patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot be seen afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Brothers and sisters, love your neighbor as yourself. That means we take him over some cookies. Maybe we tell him about God. There's so many things. There's so many practical applications that can lead us into godliness, deeper godliness, and practicing it in our lives. So let us not be looking to have every little thing that we must do written. And I want to say this reverently. I don't want to take away from God's word, and I don't want to add to God's word. But it is important to me that we as a people find principles in this word and make practical applications to our lives. If we don't, we will not stand. I had to think of Psalms 119. That chapter just blesses me. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Now, what is a precept? It's a command or direction given as a rule of action or conduct. Our conduct. A directive or rule. There's a godly way to do this. We all find ourselves at a different place in our walk, in our journey. But I think we should allow ourselves to be stretched, and we should continue to allow God to influence our lives through His people. I think that my thought is that, you know, maybe some brothers have convictions that are a little stronger than ours. And I think that we should allow those convictions some consideration. I'm not saying we all have to be just alike. But I think it's important that we're all growing in convictions and in godliness in our lives. I'd just like to close here with a quote from another early Christian. He said that he lived a couple centuries after Christ was here. And this is what he said. He said, in all sincerity and with open hearts before God, we accept all that could be established by the demonstrations and teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Amen. I agree with him. God bless you.